kwakuwankwamnyako nauvuku naundukufu ata milele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and thank you once again for tuning in to Radio Harambe, the companion podcast to our website, jamboeveryone.com. I am Dave McBride, broadcasting from the Radio Harambe studios, and also broadcasting from the Radio Harambe studios, it is Safari Mike. Mike, to what do we owe this pleasure?
Fatigue. Generally speaking.
Well, I hear
my team in Australia.
I hear a rumor, though.
Yes.
That you've come back to the States because you have a special weekend trip planned.
I do have a special weekend trip planned to our nation's capital.
Yes, to see
snow leopards.
Snow leopards. In the movie.
In the movie.
That's where right. Joe Rohde's going to be.
That's right. And pandas later on in the weekend.
And you're going to corner Joe and force him to tell us about Avatar?
Yes.
Yes, he says.
I have a whole bunch of magic bands I will
throw in his general direction.
Strap him down and ask him like some legit questions about Avatar Land. Get the real scoop. I can't stand it.
So Mike doesn't have a conservation mission for today, but we have quite a bit to talk about in the news here. On today's show, we're going to discuss all the news from Disney's Animal Kingdom. Also, we're going to talk about the rest of the news from Walt Disney World. And then in our final segment, we are going to start what will be a recurring feature here on the Radio Harambe podcast, and that is an audio tour of Disney's Animal Kingdom. I'll tell you more about that in a little bit. But let's start with the local news. And the first thing is something that always makes the news whenever this happens, and it's a kind of an important thing. The Association of Zoos and Aquariums, the AZA, which Mike can tell us a little bit about in a second, has once again granted their accreditation to both Disney's Animal Kingdom and the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Interesting that they're two separate things. Maintaining this is obviously of huge importance, right, Mike, to any zoo.
Oh, absolutely.
For credibility in the field.
Right. Right. You want to have the accreditation or else, I mean, most zoos that you go to in cities and stuff like that have that. They very rarely do not. I mean, some roadside menageries and stuff like that do not. But you want to have that accreditation so that you can show to the public and show to perhaps critics that, right. You know, there are guidelines that you are following and adhering to, et cetera, et cetera.
And those guidelines are about well-being of the animals, but also, mm-hmm. isn't the AZA the driving force behind species survival and
Absolutely.
Stuff like that?
AZA is behind all of that. They sort of govern all of that stuff.
So I would imagine you have to participate in that to get this accreditation in some respect, I would think, wouldn't you?
I don't think necessarily having to participate in an SSP program necessarily is a requirement of accreditation.
Gotcha.
But it certainly goes a long way to help.
There's a lot of great information on this, and actually, if you check our blog, jamboeveryone.com, later on the week, I'm going to have a lot of information on this. I'm just waiting for some stuff to come in, actually, from the AZA, some information I requested on their report with the Animal Kingdom. Disney also released a lot of information about it, some, on their Disney Parks blog, all the good stuff. But there's some great stuff on there, and it's really kind of a proud moment, I would imagine, for the Animal Kingdom Animal Care Group. You never want to lose that. That would be...
That's true.
That would be a disaster for public relations.
Blackfish again.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of terrific successes for the Animal Kingdom, late last week, actually, Mike, the day after we recorded the last show, sometimes we jump in to add news, but I just didn't have time to do that this time. We found out that the Parks blog actually announced that the birth of a female baby white rhino at the Animal Kingdom. It is the second one born in 2015 and the 10th in the history of the park.
That's correct. Yeah.
That's a heck of a record.
Cute little gal.
Oh, they all are. They all are. Yeah, it's a girl. She's born only a few short weeks ago, so I can't imagine she's going to be on stage anytime soon.
Probably not soon, yeah. But she doesn't have a name yet either.
Doesn't have a name yet, so you can go to the Parks blog. Do they still doing it?
It was as of today. I'm not sure. By the time this comes out, I'm not sure if it'll still be going forward, but check out the Parks blog.
They have four choices for you to vote on the name. I keep trying to get them to make Rhodey as one of the possibilities.
I was going
to
write in Safari Mike, but I guess
yeah. No, well, that doesn't sound like a name of an animal. That sounds like the name of you.
I think they should name a rhino.
So,
what am I? Yeah, that's what I think.
So anyway, you could go to the Parks blog. Perhaps by the time this airs, who knows? But you can vote on it.
I probably have a better shot at getting a wild ass named after me.
Probably. Probably. The cool thing is, though, and I don't know how long it takes for birth to being on stage with a rhino, but if you're there in the fall, you're going to see two baby rhinos on stage. Now, that's going to be pretty cool.
Maybe. I'm not sure if they would have both of them on the stage at the same time.
No?
I don't know. I mean, they have a lot of white rhinos. I mean, anybody who's been
have quite a few now.
Or been out to Rafiki's Planet Watch has gone past the rhino barn. And almost always you'll see something in there.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if they'll have them all at the same time. I don't know. Maybe one mother might be skittish. Who knows?
Who knows? Yeah. I think what they've done in the past there is the males have rotated.
Yeah, that's true.
Because when we were there, when I was actually backstage the last time on the tour, there was a male there and there was another one on stage. Only two males at the time. Mm-hmm. And they were rotating them in and out. But that's all part of the species survival. So they move around a little bit. Also, a couple of kind of rumor things, but news. You're hearing that perhaps a Sumatran tiger's on stage already?
That's what I heard. People from.
But you haven't seen that yet.
I have not seen a picture of it, but people, friends of mine on Twitter, have told me that the CMs there were saying that the male will be out come Tuesday, which was 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Not all the time.
Right.
Even before, the female Sumatran was not out all the time.
Exactly.
But if you go there, you have a shot at seeing the male.
Even last week, we reported that Scott from the Dixie right. Landings podcast, he was there, and they told him that the male was on stage when guests weren't there. Mm-hmm. So obviously, this is a process that's going to go, you know, a bit at a time. Maybe he did really well inside of a week, and they sped up the process. I have no idea. The last thing I have for the local news, Mike, is touring plans. Was reporting, I believe, on their Twitter feed. I haven't checked their actual website, but I see pictures on their Twitter feed of construction walls up in Kilimanjaro Safaris mm-hmm. on the ride itself. And they are reporting that this is construction for the nighttime safaris.
I've heard that from other source, too.
And I've heard that from other source as well, that there was possibility that there have been that these walls were going up. There was a few in weird places. Mm-hmm. Like on the back of mm-hmm. the yeah. savannah, places right. where they look, although they're not, they look like the same walls that separate animals.
Right, when new animals come on animals, safari, they'll right. put those kind of blinds up.
They look like burlap sacks yeah, or something of, yeah. like that. Yeah,
right.
But these look like that, but they also have chain link fence mm-hmm. behind some of mm-hmm. them. So we think that's what this is, but we don't know.
Yeah, and who knows when it's going to... Still no idea when it's going to open or no, anything nothing. Like that. I don't know what it is.
We don't even know when the market's going to open yet.
That's true, but that's got to be relatively soon, I would think. But
we have no information.
No,
we no official word.
I would think by summertime that's open, but we're digressing. You know, I don't know if this is like building light structures. I don't know if it's building additional animal exhibits because we hear the hyenas might be a nighttime safari
yeah.
animal.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know.
Maybe an enclosure.
Could be, yeah. Could be an yeah. exhibit. Right?
From one of the things that I saw, it looked like it was kind of in the main savannah, mm-hmm. But off in one
yeah,
end of it.
Yeah, seemed what it was. It was hard to
but
tell.
But yeah. right along the path of the truck.
Correct.
So that would make sense
it
that
would.
They'd be building an enclosure there.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And they would need to build some sort of, you know, hidden barrier if they're going to put hyenas out.
That's true.
Where they're going to be chasing the wildebeests.
Right. Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure where else you would put the hyenas unless you put them where the lions are.
Or something and like move that. Something off.
Right.
But the cool thing about the lions is they're nocturnal.
Yeah, you would hope that they would stay on exhibit.
So you would think they'd be on exhibit. Same with the cheetahs, right? Or no, the cheetahs are
more daytime.
Are more daytime, yeah.
They are.
So maybe they would go on the cheetah exhibit.
Maybe. But the cheetah exhibit's kind of pushed to the back, and if you're having a nighttime safari, it'd be more difficult to...
Yeah,
see stuff back there.
If I were to make one criticism about an exhibit, that's the cheetah one.
Yeah, it's not great.
It's not a great exhibit. It's
you
not
see the cheetahs anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so this is what we're hearing, but we don't know enough about it. Mm-hmm. So we're getting some more information hopefully soon on this, and we will let you know. Since it was a very short local news, we're going to... Yeah?
I just recalled something else. Very minor.
Go ahead. Minor is fine.
Tamu Tamu menu has changed back to the curry. It's gone away from the pulled beef, and it's gone back to the chicken curry and vegetable curry. I know we talked about it just last episode.
Yeah, well, it's important to update that then.
So it's back to chicken curry, vegetable curry, and still the quinoa salad.
We're gonna have people coming to the writing us in anger saying
it switches back and forth between these two things all the time. So
yeah, I mean, it does.
This is, I think, like a sort of spring summery kind of thing. The pulled beef will be back at some point, probably.
The only thing I want to say, Mike, about and I said this to you off air. There's so many walls up now. Like, how can a guest enjoy themselves to the fullest? I mean, you really can't. I mean, it's such a beautiful place. It's all about these kind of beautiful locales. And there is not a place where you turn,
no,
and it's
even
not
Rafiki's
lost.
Have walls now.
Rafiki's, right. the Discovery Island,
all around the lagoon,
all around the lagoon
light.
For the Rivers of Light. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everywhere.
Maybe
now it's in
Dino
Kilimanjaro
Land,
Safari. Right. I mean, Dino Land is probably the last place that doesn't have them. Yeah, 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 and the Oasis. But it's amazing. Anyway, so let's go right to the world news.
All right,
Dave. So what do we have,
Dave? Today we're going to go to the Polynesian and Disney Springs, but first we're going to go with America's favorite game. Dave, guess this price.
You told me we were doing this. First, I want you to do me a favor.
Yes, sir.
From now on, when you plan to Dave guess this price, don't tell me beforehand. Because I sit around all day tempted to go on and look and see what it is.
All right. Well, then you always ask me what we're doing for the world news. And
yeah,
I tell
just leave that out.
Okay,
spring it on me.
All right, fine.
But this one, I only learned what it actually is right before we went to air.
I don't even know what it is, but it's okay.
I have no idea. Go ahead.
Magic Kingdom's Nightly Wishes Dessert Party is undergoing some tweaks and bringing a little different food and a little different drinks and a little bit of a change in the price. I don't know if
a change could only be one direction, but okay. I don't know what the price was last year, so that's not going to help me. I really don't have.
So I'm not going to tell you.
Don't tell me.
All right. So
it shouldn't be based on the price last year. It should be based on what you're getting now. So go ahead. I got my pen out.
It is at the Tomorrowland Terrace.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And here's what you can get.
Not exactly the castle.
No.
Go ahead.
Soft drinks.
Okay.
Sparkling cider. Hot drinking. I just told you. That's all I know. Sparkling cider.
I'm assuming from the word sparkling that it's non-alcoholic.
I would assume so.
Okay. So, soda.
Hot drinking chocolate, which I'm assuming is hot chocolate.
Wait a minute. Who wrote that hot drinking chocolate?
Is that blog?
Really? Okay. So
signature lemonades.
So soda
and hot chocolate.
Hot
lemonade.
Chocolate. So no coffee even. Okay. Go ahead. Why wouldn't you want to have coffee at a dessert party or espresso
they might.
Or something?
They might.
Okay.
Desserts include chocolate dipped strawberries, chocolate mousse, ice cream, seasonal fruit and cheese. And
whoa. Strawberries, ice cream,
mousse.
Fruit and cheese.
And Disney-themed character cupcakes. What are you doing?
I'm writing it down.
All right.
Cupcakes. Okay.
Reservations can be made through the dining website.
That's it?
Yes. The event begins on July 5, 2015, so you can...
It's all you can eat?
That is all you can eat. It's a dessert party.
But it's...
So you have a special
really,
area.
Really...
And dessert.
But it's a really crappy dessert menu. I mean, this is all like run-of-the-mill stuff. Cupcakes, strawberries, ice cream.
Maybe you didn't listen to me. Disney character-themed cupcakes.
I don't care about that. It's cupcakes. I mean, it's not even
and
something.
It's not just normal fruit and cheese. It's seasonal fruit and cheese.
Such a jerk.
And the strawberries are dipped in chocolate.
Clearly
you weren't listening.
And mousse. Some kind of mousse.
Right. Well, chocolate mousse, not like an Alaskan mousse.
But just chocolate mousse.
Chocolate mousse, yeah.
Nothing fancy.
No. No.
Wow. That's lame.
Well, it's a dessert party. It's not much different than any other.
I understand that, but could they at least have like some interesting desserts in the dessert party? Like maybe some cakes, maybe some like... I mean, can I get a cannoli, for God's sake?
Cannot get a cannoli. This
something,
not,
you know what I'm saying? Something with a little, some Napoleons, a few selections from different things. And this is like...
Cannoli in Magic Kingdom.
Mike, this is a dessert party for a 12-year-old.
Well, they would pay the same price as an adult, by the way, but go ahead.
Do you know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying. Okay. I mean, it's not, you know.
It's worth. How long are you there? Doesn't say.
It doesn't say.
It's during wishes.
It's during wishes.
So that's worth $30 by itself, just because you're at wishes. Mm-hmm. And you get a special viewing area.
Right.
$40.
$49. $29 for children. The previous price was $29.
Next.
Apparently you just got some crackers, though, before they switched to
the seasonal cheese.
Seasonal cheese.
I mean, does that make sense? Is this like
I'm not going to spend $50 for sparkling cider and a couple of cupcakes.
It's a dessert party for a 12-year-old. I mean, it's not even good desserts for $50.
It's not mature adult. You're not getting a tiramisu or anything like
you're
that.
Not you're not getting anything worth $50.
Well, how many desserts are worth $50?
Well, yeah. I mean, I understand that. But, I mean, you're not even getting coffee and espresso and stuff. You're getting nothing.
You might get coffee. I mean, it doesn't say coffee.
That could be part of the drinking, hot drinking chocolate.
You do get hot drinking chocolate.
I'm flabbergasted at what hot drinking chocolate might be.
I wouldn't count on espresso, but it wouldn't surprise me if they had coffee.
Okay. All right. Wow. If it sells out, man.
Dave, let's go to Tomorrowland.
Okay, good.
We're right there.
Well, we're there already.
We're right there. So let's stay there.
Okay.
The movie, I'm sure that you have heard of, called Tomorrowland.
I have.
With George
Clooney. Yeah.
It's coming out in... I don't even remember when it's coming out.
I don't either, but I saw a trailer for it recently on something important, maybe even the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it looks cool. But anyway, you'll be able to see a special preview with special effects at a couple of different spaces.
There's a lot of specials in there.
You'll be able to see it at the Tomorrowland Theater in Disneyland, and you will be able to see it at the Imagination Theater in Epcot.
So it's not just a trailer.
It is not just a trailer. They use the special effects from the theater incorporated into the movie preview. It's about 15 minutes. They did this with Guardians of the Galaxy, too, before that came out.
I think they may have done it for things like The Lion King at the studios back in the day, too.
I don't know, but I remember they just did this for the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Okay.
Of course, the big thing about that is it's replacing Captain EO in both theaters.
Uh-oh.
And the rumor has it that this
MJ
is the end.
MJ fans are going to go wild.
This is the end of Captain EO.
Well, I would hope so.
I don't think so. What are they going to do? I mean...
Anything, Mike.
Yeah, but Tomorrowland is done. I mean, they're not going to show a 15-minute preview once the movie's out in late May or whatever. And they clearly have nothing ready to slide in there.
Nah, it'll come back. You're right.
I think it'll come back. But people seem to think that this is the end of Captain EO.
I doubt it.
One other quick story. Down in downtown Disney or Disney Springs, the United World Soccer is going bye-bye and being replaced by something called Superhero Headquarters, which is going to be a giant Marvel store.
Cool!
That's coming in May.
Now, I'm a soccer fan, you know that, but we knew that this was that store was, even from the beginning, if I remember correctly, said it was going to be temporary, just for kind of the World Cup and that kind of thing. Apparently,
it's still going, but okay.
Yeah, a year later, it's still going, but I think it did okay.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it did okay, but I mean, this is better.
Yeah, this is better. We'll see what again, we all know the contract that Disney can't have anything in a quote-unquote theme park.
Right.
Does Disney Springs count as a theme park?
No, clearly not.
I guess not.
It's a mall.
It is a mall. It's a nice mall.
It is a very nice mall.
Nice lake.
But right now, it's not that nice.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, that's fine. But anyway, all right, the last story. It's actually a twofer. The final piece of the Polynesian lobby is in. The little shruggy tiki statue is in place and is part of a water feature in the center of the lobby. Do you want to comment on that before I move on to the second part of the story? Or you just want to let that one go?
I think I've said everything I need to say about what they've done to the
big fan,
how they've destroyed my Polynesian village.
Trader Sam's Grog Grotto should be open by the end of this month. That is, of course, Trader Sam's, everybody knows from Disneyland, is coming to the Polynesian. It's going to operate from 4 p.m. to midnight. Will be available exclusively to guests age 21 and over after 8 p.m.
What apparently. Is a Grog Grotto?
Well, I think that's just the name of the bar.
Oh, okay.
Trader Sam's Grog Grotto.
Okay.
It's going to serve food and drinks. It's going to have 12 specialty cocktails, a rum flight, a flight of Kona beer, which I'm very excited about. It is going to...
Are you really?
I like Kona beer.
Okay. What if I told you it was brewed in New Hampshire?
I know it is.
Okay. I do. I like Kona beer, too.
It's also brewed in Hawaii, but the ones we're buying here are brewed in New Hampshire.
Not brewed in Hawaii.
There's souvenir tiki glasses, of course. Some of the menu items look actually kind of interesting. Pork tacos, chicken lettuce cups, fried Portuguese sausage bites,
right.
Dumplings with sesame soy, dipping sauce. You get the idea. There's going to be seating both indoors and outdoors on a patio. And it's going to be limited to about 50 guests. Outside, there'll be seating for additional 80 guests. So that's a combination of 130 guests. Just to give you an idea of what that means, Tutto Gusto in Le Cellier seats 96 guests.
Okay.
So the bar itself is like half the size of Tutto Gusto, which is kind of small to begin with. And anyway, that's that's some of the details.
My disappointment with the Polynesian really kind of ends at what they've done to destroy the lobby. I'm excited about Trader Sam's. It's going to be hard to get into, yeah. But if you're there in off season, maybe you can get in and grab a drink and that kind of thing.
You know all the locals. It's going to be like a spot. It's going to be a spot.
It is going to be a spot. So. But at least it's something. And the other thing is, it might get people away from the bar upstairs next to Ohana that I absolutely love.
Yeah, that's true.
I enjoy that bar. That's true. There's a guy up there. He's a local. I forgot his name. I have it written down somewhere. Who makes the best Mai Tai?
Sven?
Sven? He's a local. His name is like George or something like that. He makes
Sven working.
He makes one of the best Mai Tais I've ever had anybody make. It's fantastic. Yep.
You like the Lapu Lapu with the giant
pineapple? When I go to a Hawaiian place, I drink Mai Tais and that's it. You can keep the rest of your giant pineapple Lapus.
You're boring.
I like a Mai Tai. Is that it?
That is it.
Wow. So the news is over. We are going to take a short break. And when we come back, we are going to debut a special new segment.
How's this new?
Repeated segment of the Radio Harambe podcast. This is going to be episode one of our tour around the parks.
But didn't we already do walking tours of Harambe?
No, but this is going to be an actual tour starting from the beginning. And then we're going to go through the rest of the rest of the park, land by land.
So including Avatar Land?
Get ready for that.
We should do a fake one on April 1st about Avatar.
Yeah, the only difference is because there's so much walk around going on in the trails.
Yeah,
they obviously Maharaja got one, and what was the other one we did?
One of Harambe
Harambe. Yes,
and so. We did the Kali River Rapids Queue.
Maybe I need to play those all over again.
What do you mean?
Add them to a show, so we put them in order. You're right. But we're going to start from the beginning.
We can redo them.
Yeah, we could. Sure, why not? So we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we will start at the park's entrance on Radio Harambe.
Mickey to Rafiki. Come in, Rafiki.
Hello, my friend.
How's everything look up ahead?
So many people.
That's swell. I hope they're ready for a wild adventure. Let's get this show on the road.
We're on our way, my friends. Our journey has begun.
If you are looking for the best information, news, and opinions on Disney's Animal Kingdom, the only website to visit is JomboEveryone.com. Besides keeping you up to date on everything going on at the park, you can also find attraction and dining reviews, in-depth information on conservation and wildlife, and even some terrific images of the Animal Kingdom and its cast of furry friends. JomboEveryone.com is the internet's only site devoted entirely to our favorite theme park, Disney's Animal Kingdom. Visit us today and have a wild time.
Come, everyone, clap along now.
Today, folks, we begin a new series. Mike informs us that it is not new, but this is the first time we're calling it a series, so okay. I'm calling it new. And this is one, actually, since we did a couple of those other episodes Mike talks about, we've been getting requests for ever since. I get this. The most consistent thing people ask me is if we can continue doing these sort of audio-guided tours. And so we thought, since we've already done a couple, we might as well complete the entire park by starting at the very beginning. First, let me say this. This tour that you're listening to is meant to be listened to while you're strolling through the park. And remember, I said strolling. So I highly suggest that you don't try to complete this tour with fast passes scheduled or some ADR that you don't want to miss. Contrary to what some might say, this is certainly not a half-day park. You must take your time, and we are going to force you to do so here. And we begin at the park's entrance. And as you exit the tram from the parking lot, maybe you're on the tram, maybe you're on the bus, I have no idea. Stop for a moment, look in front of you. The entrance to Disney's Animal Kingdom is just about unique to any entrance of any theme park. And it's nothing short of spectacular. Like much of the logistical designs of the Animal Kingdom, the entrance takes its inspiration from Disneyland. Looking from the outside, the Magic Kingdom of the Magic Kingdom, either from the ticket booths or maybe from the boat docks or something to that effect, your view is actually blocked to the inside of the park by the Main Street train station. This is a very deliberate obstruction and is meant to create a sense of anticipation for what you might find inside. At the Animal Kingdom, however, your view inside the park is blocked by giant trees, thick vegetation, that sort of thing. What you can see right in front of you. From here, there seems to be only one pathway into the woods, as the surrounding brush leads you to an opening, just like when you were a kid and your backyard had that one perfect little path leading into the woods. From here, you would never know that you were just about to enter what was, when it opened, the largest theme park in the world. But before you go in, let's take some time to look around where you are if you've just exited your bus. There is a huge Disney's Animal Kingdom sign in front of you before you get actually to the turnstiles. This makes for some great family photos. Stop there and take some pictures. Also, notice if you look on the bottom, there are five animals. The biggest one, the one front and center, is a dragon. And it's not the last dragon we're going to see here. More on that later. For those of you who enjoy character meet and greets, as you continue forward towards the ticket booth, you'll often find a character or two, and usually not much of a line there for a photo op, so take advantage of that if you'd like. Also, if you're here during the holidays, you'll find the giant animal-themed Christmas tree in this courtyard area, which is also gorgeous. On your left, there is an entrance to the Rainforest Cafe. The restaurant can be entered without a pass to the park. It is beautifully put together. Kids find a lot of fun, but it's not officially in the park, so let us pass that by and head towards the ticket booths. Now, you probably never thought you would hear me say this, but don't just buy your tickets and walk away. This park also happens to have perhaps the most amazing ticket booths you will ever find, and I'm not kidding. Stand back and look up at the insanely ornate and beautifully detailed animals carved into the facade above you, just in front of the roof. Take a look around at all the carvings, and you will find our second dragon of the day. For those of you who don't know, Disney's Animal Kingdom was originally intended to open with a land dedicated to mythical creatures, and the dragon was to play a big part. But alas, budgets were cut, the dragons were scrapped, and not before a few of them made it into a couple of prominent places around the park. Walt Disney not only wanted anticipation at the opening of the show, he also wanted a sense of nostalgia. The kind of nostalgia that gives the guests the same kind of warm feeling they got when they headed to maybe their grandmother's house or when they went back to a vacation spot they haven't been to since they were a kid, that sort of thing. Your first steps in the Animal Kingdom find you at the entrance of the Oasis Trails, and it's here where the nostalgia kind of comes in, but it's in a very and more subtle way than the blatant nostalgia of the turn of the century Main Street USA. Let me explain. For many of us, our initial encounter with the natural world was that first thrill of leaving the pavement or the well-manicured lawn behind us and stepping into the woods, so to speak. From the back porch, you couldn't really see what lay beyond that first layer of trees and brush in front of you, but stepping inside and your imagination lit and your senses woke up. What wildlife, dangers, and adventures lay just out of view from the porch? Maybe our parents knew there wasn't much danger in those woods, but we didn't know that. The forest was a dark and mysterious place, and a place to be thoroughly explored and enjoyed. This is precisely what the Oasis is meant to be. It is our introduction back into nature from the modern pavement of a more mundane world outside. It combines a somewhat familiar landscape with exotic animals who seem to blend in with the surroundings. For many adults, this may be your first trip back to the forest, so to speak, in years. And while your eyes may gaze upon one animal or another, the surroundings are leading your memory back to the woods in that old backyard, back to when you were curious and adventurous enough to leave the comforts of the modern world behind and venture into the unknown. It's a spirit that's going to come in very handy on your adventure here at the park. But don't rush through the Oasis like many rush through Main Street USA. The animals found here are beautiful, and the landscaping is breathtaking, and much of it a little hidden. The habitats along the Oasis Trail are meant to be hidden. The design of these areas are such that species found here blend into the oasis, which can often make for frustrating stops at what appears to be an empty exhibit. This is the beginning of an adventure, and a true adventure should be soaked in and appreciated. You wouldn't rush through the woods, so don't rush through these. We may all be entered the same way, but the pathways lead in different directions, and they each will reward the patient and curious explorer with a different exotic animal or a different lush surrounding. So, it is time to begin our adventure. And who better to do that with than a man named Safari Mike? So, Mike, we've come through the turnstiles, and in front of us is a path in either direction.
Well, actually, Dave, technically, in front of us is the rock that is dedicated to
exactly.
Animal Kingdom.
The rock says, welcome to a kingdom of animals, real, ancient, and imagined. A kingdom ruled by lions, dinosaurs, and dragons. A kingdom of balance, harmony, and survival. A kingdom we enter to share in the wonder, gaze at the beauty, thrill at the drama, and learn. Dedicated this day, dedicated on this 22nd day of April 1998, Michael Eisner. Not quite the writer Walt was, but go ahead.
No, I mean...
So the rock is in front of you? You suggest we go and look at it.
Sure, look at the rock. But also right in front of you is a pond.
That's true.
One of the first of the two ponds at the Oasis. And this one has spoonbills as well as other waterfowl. And Dave, do you know what a spoonbill is?
Well, it's a bird.
It is a bird named spoonbill because its bill is very much like a spoon. It sifts the water and at the top of the water looking for food. We have African and Rosetta spoonbills here at Disney's Animal Kingdom. Yeah. The Rosetta, of course, kind of pinkish.
Yeah.
Much like a flamingo, and it's pink for the same reason. It has keratin that it eats, and it turns it into a kind of pinkish hue like a flamingo. Another thing that you often see here, Dave, and if there are any there, you should go up to them. It's often cast members can be found right in the front here. And they'll have various things like a spoonbill skull or a spider within a glass case, a deceased spider, feathers, things of that nature, so that you can sort of, especially for children, to sort of touch and hold and check out and all that kind of stuff.
Your son loves that.
Yeah, he does. And that's what I used to do when I was at the zoo. I have all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So that is sort of the first pond. So take it in, enjoy it, check out the spoonbills, check out some of the other waterfowl there. And then are you ready to move on?
I am. Take a few pictures too, though, because you're right on top of the spoonbills, right?
Spoonbills are right there.
Real close, and there's some of them, they can get some really neat shots. Go ahead.
They're fun looking.
Yeah, they are cool looking, and the pink ones are really photogenic.
Dave, we're going to do the anti-Epcot.
Going to go right.
World Showcase. We're going to go the right.
Okay.
And first up, as you were walking, first off, you'll have like the, you know, where you can get the wheelchairs and stuff.
Right.
But as you walk up the path to the right-hand side, you will see the Barbarossa.
Oh, we're going up to the Barbarossa. Okay.
Well, for right now, that's on the right-hand side. You have the Barbarossa. And those are, they're called pig deer, but they're not deer at all. They are related to hogs. And they look like a pig. And they have the tusks that come jutting out all over their nose. They eat mostly leaves and fruit, but will on occasion eat a small bird or reptile. They are threatened. They are not quite endangered, but they are threatened thanks to poaching and habitat destruction.
Really?
And they're very quick, and they're quite good swimmers.
Really?
So that is the Barbarossa.
Cool.
Across the path from them, to the left, is the Reeves Muntjac. Do you, Dave, recall what the Muntjac is?
Isn't it a small deer?
It is a deer. It's a barking deer.
Right.
It is called a barking deer, as I'm sure you can guess, because when alarmed, it makes a barking noise. It sounds like a dog. They're from Taiwan and China. They are nocturnal for the most part, so sometimes they're not always out. They are very small. I mean, they're out, but sometimes they're not very easily spotted.
Yeah, they hide.
They are small. They never grow more than 3 feet long, and they're 30 pounds is heavy for right. one of these little guys. But they're cute as a dickin, and they have like these little horns
on top
of their
cool.
head. Antlers, obviously. Those are the Reeves Muntjac. Continue on.
Is the Patagonia cavy still there?
No.
They're no longer on... So that, no. Where the Muntjac is where the Patagonia cavy used to be.
Correct.
I think it used to be right in the front there.
Correct.
Okay, so I don't want to give them give folks things they're not going to find. But that's
There's a couple of things that were there that are no longer there, like the cavy. That's probably the biggest one.
And that's like the largest rat in the world, isn't it, or something like that?
Not the largest. That's the capybara.
But it is a big rat.
It is a big rodent. Also, right next here is the rhinoceros iguana. I don't know if you've
seen the rhinoceros iguana. They're cool.
They have horns. They have scales on their face that look a lot like a horn, which, of course, hence their name.
Right.
They're hard to tell apart, male and female, except for the fact that the male has a little white patch on his cheek. So if you see a little white patch on the cheek, then you know you're looking at the boy.
Yeah.
They're from the Dominican Republic, and of course, you often see him basking on that one rock that's heated. And, as a cold-blooded animal, they need the warmth of the sun to give them energy. Unlike us, they have a steady temperature inside. Right. Cold-blooded animal, for people who don't know, that doesn't mean their blood is cold. It just means they rely on sunlight to warm them up. So that is the rhinoceros iguana.
They're really neat. And that's another one you can get right. If you got a good, decent camera, they're right there. Get right up there and take some fantastic pictures of them. And they're really cool animals.
We have a few on the blog, I believe.
Yeah, of course. Go to the blog and then hit photos. You go to my Disney's Photo Safari. You'll find a lot of them there.
Next, Dave, we're going to go. There's a path right to the left.
Okay.
We're going to make that left. And this is one of my favorite spots in Disney's Animal Kingdom. It also, I caught some heat for taking one of these exhibits on our snake draft of exhibits.
Fantasy draft of animal exhibits.
A lot of heat on Twitter for taking this, but be that as it may. First,
what do we know?
First up on this crossing path is actually the Scarlet Macaw, which is from, and you'll see it actually as you make the left, and you're going on this. It's this path that cuts across from the right-handed path
to the opposite
side. When you look to your right, there's sort of like a tree structure there. It's not really a tree. It's more of like, you know, whatever. And that's where they have the Scarlet Macaws. Military Macaws are over there. My apologies.
Yeah, right.
The green ones.
The green ones with the red nose.
Correct. They're named Military Macaws because they're very olive green. They're almost entirely olive green, except as Dave said, a red nose and some other small highlights. They eat fruit and berries. They are vulnerable. They're not quite endangered. And they like to live in large flocks. In South America, where they are from, obviously, in Mexico, you will sometimes see 50 to 60 of them at one time in a big flock. A little unusual for macaws. That's a lot for a flock of macaws. Now, let's go into the pond itself, which is, of course, the exhibit I picked for our draft.
Right.
And there are a couple of animals in there that I like. There is the black-necked swan, which is probably the biggest waterfowl in the oasis.
Is that the one with the red? There's like a red kind of thing in the top of its bill in between its eyes and its bill.
Yep, it's a large red knob.
Okay.
It is from South America. It is the smallest swan in the world. And it also eats algaes and water insects and stuff like that.
Right.
Also here is the rosy-billed pochard, which is another duck. It also has a red bill with a little knob on it. It's kind of gray and black. It is from the southern half of South America. It is classified as a diving duck, but it does not eat like a diving duck. It eats like a dabbling duck. Dave, do you know what a dabbling duck is?
I know what a diving duck is.
Well, that's pretty self-explanatory.
Dabbling. Mm-hmm. Is that something that eats just the stuff that floats at the top of the
you
water?
You got it, Dave. Very good.
I mean, what else could it be?
Many of us see ducks floating around the top of the surface and just using their bill to skim along.
Pecking away at stuff, yeah.
That's called a dabbling duck. The rosy bill actually has like a big, broad, white stripe, but you wouldn't see it unless it's flying. It's underneath its wing.
Okay.
Across from there, Dave, is one of the highlights of perhaps the oasis, and that is the Tammar Wallaby.
Okay. I'm laughing because sometimes he's hard to get. he's hard to photograph.
Hard to spot. And there's a baby there now, too.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well,
oh, cool.
He was born just under a year ago.
So he might, yeah.
He's about 11 months.
That is cool.
The Tammar Wallaby, of course, is from Australia. It's native to the south and western Australian coastal areas. Wallabies are much smaller than kangaroos, which when we finally get to the Tree of Life Gardens, we'll talk about. But the wallaby's about 2 feet tall. The mom is named Adelaide. The dad is named Tucker. And Adelaide. The baby who was born just under a year ago is named Ozzy. I like that name. But anyway, just like a kangaroo, a wallaby will kick you if it's threatened, so try not to jump into the exhibit with them.
And that would be a good idea.
They eat grass. They are not endangered. They're doing relatively well in their spot. However, some areas locally, farms and competition from non-native species like rabbits, which are a big problem in Australia, has made them, you know, locally endangered. But generally, as a species as a whole, is doing relatively well. They share their exhibit with Australian wood ducks, which are, again, dabbling ducks. And they like to nest in tree cavities, and they're there with the wallabies. Take a look at them. An exhibit nearby is the Florida cooter. Have any idea, Dave, what a Florida cooter is?
It's a bird, isn't it?
Nope. You're wrong.
No.
It is a turtle.
Oh, that's what that is there?
Yep. Oh. It's a plant-eating freshwater turtle. It was frequently exported for consumption, for turtle soup and whatnot, and the pet trade.
I assume it's from Florida.
It is from Florida, hence the name Florida cooter. That, you know, it is illegal, of course, to hunt or them for those things, but you right. know, unfortunately, there is some poaching going on of the Florida cooter.
I just want to make a couple of comments before we go.
Yes, sir.
We kind of briefly glossed over the wallaby. Me being a person who lives to photograph at Disney's Animal Kingdom, I just want to kind of throw in a couple of tips here. Patience with the wallaby. It is probably there. It does tend to hide a bit. Just sit there for a second and let it come to you, because you're going to get fleeting views occasionally, but they're beautiful. The Barbarossa also tends to hide in like a little cave thing now and again.
Correct.
If you're there early, oftentimes they're feeding them. Because if I'm right about this, they try to keep those animals active in that first hour with food and stuff, because that's when the oasis is the most crowded, right?
One of the things they often do for a couple of these different animals, Barbarossa being one of them, is the keepers will go out before the park opens and hide little
food and
snacks and things like that. So oftentimes when they first come out, when the park opens in this case, they will be rummaging around trying to find their food, little snacks, little treats and whatnot.
Right.
That's a common thing to do.
Right. And the same thing with that I said with the wallaby, I would say with the green macaw, a lot of times, although you'll always see it, the military macaw, you'll always see him. He's usually there. But a lot of times he has his nose tucked into his...
Right.
Because he's sleeping. They don't stay there forever like that. So just relax for a second and he will move. And you're so close to the macaw that if... Even with an iPhone, you can get a stunning picture of them because you're really, really close to them.
And there's another macaw. We're about to get there.
Okay.
To the other one. We go there.
Go whichever way you want to go.
Keep going across the path that, you know, we pass the wallabies, you pass the cooter, you pass the black-necked swan. Take in for a moment the pond there. This was...
Which we're referring to as Safari Mike's Pond?
Safari Mike's Pond.
Okay.
I love this exhibit. It's got the waterfall. It's very relaxing, very peaceful. It's also an area that people tend to skip. They either stay to the right and go all the way up, or stay to the left and go all the way up.
Sure.
So it's often very quiet there. And, you know, watch the black-necked swan and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
You come up to another little fake tree stand kind of thing, and here's where the scarlet macaws are. And these guys are huge. They're very colorful. They're red, not only just red, but they're usually blue
and yellow. Yep.
They are from the Amazon.
Gorgeous.
They're actually doing much better than other macaws. Many moons ago, we had somebody from the Hour Project talking about macaws in Colombia.
Right.
Many macaws,
Costa Rica, I think they were talking about too.
Was it Costa Rica? Okay.
Yeah.
Many of them are endangered. We talked about the military macaw, how they're vulnerable to becoming endangered. But the scarlet macaw is actually doing pretty well. It's of least concern. It's in its environment. It's doing decently. They mate for life. And they also eat seeds and fruits and nuts and that kind of stuff. So that's the scarlet macaw. And that's right where you can go on the suspension bridge into the cave system, which we're going to skip for a moment.
Coming back to it later.
In a moment.
Okay.
There's only really one other animal to really see now. You keep going along, and of course you get to the giant anteater. which is straight ahead, and it's basically the only animal on the left-hand path. So just to keep us back in reference, as we're walking up on the right-hand side, you have the Barbarossa on your right-hand side. Now as you're coming back down the left-hand path, again, the anteater's on your right-hand side. It's sort of on the outside of the oasis.
Right.
The anteater is also often difficult to spot. He's usually pretty, you know, he can, for something so huge, giant anteaters can be from tip of the nose to the tip of the tail, 9 feet long.
Yeah, this is a big one sometimes. I don't know if it's the same one all the time, but it's...
He's a big one.
He's big, yeah.
They are solitary by nature, and this one usually, there's only one out here. They're from Central and South America. They have a tongue that could be up to 2 feet long. And of course, they use that tongue, as I'm sure most of you know, to sort of go into tree cavities and termite nests and get the ants to eat the ants or termites. Could have just as easily been called a giant termite eater, but we went with anteater instead.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
They also have massive claws.
Really?
They have very thick claws, dangerous-looking claws, actually. What they do with that is, of course, dig up the ground trying to get into the nests of the ants and stuff.
That makes sense.
They're generally dark brown with some tan highlights around their face and their chest. They are difficult to spot. They blend in well.
Maybe a little like silver kind of.
What's that move you're doing? It's like a little dance.
You know what? Along the side, like a little silver kind of.
Kind of. It's more
stripped there, but it just looks like the light coming, the sun coming in through the trees is really all it looks like.
Well, you know, Dave, that's a general theme for a lot of these animals. They're all jungle animals. Well, at least the mammals are, like the Barbarossa and the wallaby and the muntjac. They are, adapted to life in the jungle where, you know, living in the underbrush, they are easy to hide.
Right.
They're all... For the most part, most of them are prey to something along the way. Giant anteaters even can be taken down by jaguars.
Really?
In South America, sure. Jaguars are pretty dangerous cats.
I know they are. I just didn't know that they were in the same area.
Yeah, they are. The giant anteaters from Central and South America, they can be found, up through, Panama all the way down into the Amazon. And, of course, the jaguar has been spotted as far north as Texas in the old days. Although it's been quite some time since they've seen one.
I would imagine, yeah.
So that is the giant anteater. Now,
and the giant anteater is sort of the headliner of the oasis. It's the side of sort of the biggest animal that people see most often, wouldn't you say?
I would agree that the oasis itself, and the sort of the theme of the oasis and the selection of animals is kind of low key.
Yeah.
I know. I've heard criticism.
Yeah, people.
From other
yeah,
people.
Well,
why don't they have rhinoceros?
Right.
When you're walking in. But the idea of the oasis, as you said at the beginning, is to sort of be this kind of peaceful oasis.
Yeah.
And hence, it's right in there in the name. It's peaceful. It's quiet. They're not going to have lions. They're not going to have gorillas. And
you're not supposed to be terrified when you're walking in, or awed,
right?
Or anything like
this
that.
This is the peaceful area.
Exactly.
And even it's very thick in jungle, so they have a lot of, there's a lot of different types of plants and vines and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so that is the giant anteater. Now we're going to turn around and go back towards the crossing path where we come to the suspension bridge, which, a lot of people don't even realize it's there. Most people who walk the oasis do the left-hand side or the right-hand side, and just head on over through the oasis, blow past it, and head into the animal kingdom. Take a moment, enjoy the little suspension bridge, go through the suspension bridge. I think this is really what the entrance to the animal kingdom was supposed to be. And as you go over the suspension bridge, you go into this small little cave system, which is basically just a small little cave. And you push through.
Good.
And there you are. You are in and through the oasis.
And out we go.
And out we go.
I want to point out a couple of things before we end this. Mike mentioned during all that the Amazon, Indonesia, Florida, Costa Rica, Thailand, Australia, other parts of South America. The Oasis is also sort of the part of the Animal Kingdom's animal exhibits where they didn't bring in any sort of theme, like no land. They're not all from one place or another. They're from everywhere.
Right, that and the Tree of Life Gardens.
Right, there's two different sections that kind of are the same. Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say. And they are all over the place.
You'll have, you know, waterfowl from India mixed with the Rosetta spoonbills that are from South America. You know, the one spot where they don't do that is the wallabies are actually in with Australian wood ducks. But other than that, you know, it's whatever. You know,
there's a cool little park bench in a cave there.
There is a cool little park
that
bench
you can sit down in if you need to take a load off on your way out. Mm-hmm. There's no the other cool thing about the Oasis is there's no like vending there. There's no ice cream stands or popcorn things or anything like that. There's nothing like that there, so it doesn't kill that feel. Mm-hmm. Vegetation around you is so engrossing in the Oasis. I mean, you're basically in the shade the whole time you're going through it.
True.
I mean,
it could create kind of a humid, stuffy feeling on the really hot days, but, you know, they do have...
Well, there's a few of those a year, yeah, where you get that, yeah.
But, yeah, they have, like I was talking about, they have different types of vines and orchids and bromeliads.
All sorts of stuff. Yeah.
You know, stuff that you'll see in the jungle.
Yeah, and it's that really kind of makes... that nostalgic feel of being in the woods when you were a kid and you couldn't see the sky above you. I mean, you're sort of covered in that brush. Okay, cool. So we're looking straight ahead now at the Tree of Life.
Right.
And we're going to cross a bridge into Discovery Island. Correct. So we'll have more of that when we do Discovery Island.
Yes. The only other thing I would say about the Oasis, David, about the plant life is it's this area, much like maybe the Cretaceous Trail, is very, I mean, it really could be its own botanical garden with all the variety of stuff here.
Right.
And, you know, if you see a cast member, you can always find out what those things are, those plants are.
What they do is they hand you a piece of paper, and remember this, we'll probably mention this again as your tour goes on. Remember this, they'll hand you a little piece of paper, you can describe where you saw it and what it looked like, and then they'll send it to you. I think they email it to you now, of what it is, because there are literally hundreds of different species of plants put into the animal kingdom specifically for some sort of purpose of aesthetic or whatever it might be. So there are literally hundreds of them there. And the Oasis is one of them. So it's there. Yeah, there is a lot of cool stuff there.
Before we move on, what do you like about the Oasis? What do you think about the Oasis?
I'm guilty of what I usually do is blow through the Oasis and then take it slow on the way back. And that's kind of the last thing I was going to say. Even though we're doing this sort of as a walkthrough from the beginning, I would say, let's go out to the other parts first. If this is your first time at the Animal Kingdom, go through it, get to the popular attractions quickly. If this is not your first time to the Animal Kingdom, take your time and walk through it. I suggest giving yourself an extra sort of 45 minutes or half an hour to an hour, somewhere in that range, on your way out to enjoy it. I just love the peaceful quality of the Oasis. But I am a sucker for macaws. I love macaws. Mm-hmm. So they have a couple of really gorgeous macaws there with beautiful photo ops.
Yeah, you're right.
And that's what I'm all about.
You're right there.
You know, I love taking the photos. So there's some beautiful things. And for the longest time, I really liked the Patagonian Cavy because you can get real close to him too. I have some really dramatic kind of like...
He's gone though, Dave.
He's gone. But that was replaced in my mind as far as photographable with the iguana, the rhinoceros iguana, because they are right on top of you. And they look like dinosaurs, for God's sake. They're really cool iguanas.
I mean, these guys were actually used as dinosaurs back in the old days in those old 30s films.
Yeah, that's right.
You see the old King Kong movies or whatever. They would strap some sort of like thing on their back and film.
That's absolutely true. You're not kidding about that.
No, they use monitors and iguanas.
That's exactly right.
You know, there's a lot of waterfowl if you like, you're into ducks and that kind of stuff. I mean, another animal that used to be there that's no longer there was the black swan, which is from Australia. It's a completely black fur feathers, excuse me. But that's no longer there. So sometimes they switch out some stuff. The animals that have been there for a while.
Yeah.
A while since there's been any kind of change.
Real change.
I don't know if we'll ever, if we'll see anything soon, but
who knows? But for now, that's what you're looking at.
Yeah, and you know, don't be shy to go to the Oasis even during the middle of the day.
Yeah,
maybe as you're walking back from Africa and just detour and just take in the zoological exhibits for a half hour.
Yeah,
20 minutes. Whatever
yeah,
it is.
It's absolutely worth it, and it's such a relaxing and beautiful area, and you could really just sort of hang out there for a while, and that's. You know, if you're into the photographs, that's really a great place for it because you get up close and personal with some of these animals, and it's really kind of interesting. But so there you go. Stop number one. Now, this is the easiest.
Yeah, it's pretty short.
This is the easiest one.
There's not too many exhibits.
The walkthrough is going to be a lot longer than this.
Which one?
Think we could do the rest of the walkthrough in one episode? Like, can we do Discovery Island all in one episode, or should we do Discovery Island, the Tree of Life Garden separately?
Oh, Tree of Life Gardens. The Tree of Life Gardens probably would be about the same as this.
Yeah. So maybe we'll add Discovery Island.
Do we wait for other things to open?
I think we're going to have to.
Like the otters to come back.
I think we're going to have to.
Maroon shark catfish to come
back. I think we're going to have to. Yep. For Starbucks to open.
Well, anyway. That's different from the Tree of Life Gardens. But
okay. I know. But for Discovery Island... All right. Well, anyway, there you go. Thank you once again for tuning into Radio Harambe. Don't forget, subscribe to the show on iTunes if you haven't already. Leave us a review there. Those help to sort of get the word out on iTunes. Don't forget to check out our website, johnboyeveryone.com. Check out our conservation page. Check out our store. We got a lot of great stuff being planned for the store, so check back on that. Yeah, we do, actually. So check back on that soon. And all the money that we make off that goes to our conservation partners, who you can find by clicking the conservation page. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Radio Harambe. Mike's at Jombo Everyone. You can also email me at jomboeveryone@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest. I think you just put up some YouTube stuff recently too.
I did.
Right?
I just put up three or four videos.
Yeah. So you can find all those links at jomboeveryone.com. So that's it.
That's it.
For Safari Mike, I'm Dave McBride. Kwaharini, go well. And thank you for listening to Radio Harambe.